Hey y'all, it's Justine Mentor from Mentor Management. I'm an LA-based dance choreographer and educator turned career coach, and I'm all about inspiring, motivating, and educating professional dancers. I'm so excited to bring you Dance Careers Unfiltered, where we chat about the nitty-gritty behind the business side of the entertainment industry. The stuff that people don't know, they need to know. Let's dive in. Welcome to Dance Careers Unfiltered. Today, I'm joined again by Erin Pompa, host of the Dance Boss podcast and online dance business coach. This particular episode, we focus on how to frame your mindset to become your own dance boss and the CEO of you. She encourages dancers to boost their online presence and consider monetizing their skills online. Please welcome Erin.
How are you?
Sound check. I'm good. So how are you this Monday?
I'm good. I am unpacking bridal shower gifts. We had my bridal shower yesterday, so I'm in a hoodie, just chilling, like kind of, enjoying that moment.
That's so nice, though. Ugh, what an amazing time in your life.
Yeah, I feel really blessed and lucky, you know? So thank you for asking. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm good. I'm good. It's just, you know, that juggling game, the juggle is real.
Yeah. Yes, all the time.
Yeah. I'm excited to get into this topic, though, today a little bit. I mean, I don't want to take up too much of your time or anyone else's time. So I think we should jump in. I know I've had you as a guest before, but I just want to make sure that you give like a little bit about your story and your background and like just give us the gist on Erin.
I'll try to give you the 90-second version. Anyway, I see a lot of people.
Don't worry about it.
I see a lot of people I know on here and some of my clients. Hello, everyone.
Amazing.
My name is Erin Pride. I am an online business coach for dance professionals. So basically, I help dance professionals grow and scale online dance businesses specifically. And I am host of the Dance Boss podcast. So really quickly, I think this will be relevant. How I got started is basically I was a burnt out dance teacher. I got my master's in dance education. I've danced my entire life. A small performance career, nothing like, you know, lights and stuff, but it filled me. And basically I was like, is this all that I am in my life as a dance teacher? And I really went through this pivotal moment where I was aging and I wanted to do more. So I was like, okay, my fiance said to me, do what you know. So at that time I knew about curriculum. I know how to teach teachers how to be effective dance teachers. And I think there's a gap in the industry, especially for those that go straight to studio and don't get any pedagogical training. So I became a coach for dancers, helping them understand how to write lesson plans and do it in a meaningful way so that they're really enhancing their student growth. But if I want to be honest with you, Justine, I got really bored of that. And I think what happened is that I wanted to push myself beyond just my comfort zone. So when the pandemic hit, I knew it was a good opportunity. I had a coach and I talked it out with her. I was like, I want to help people like live their dream. She's like, all right, Erin, you know that's not a niche. I said, I want to help dance professionals come online. I don't think online is going away, and there is so much room for dance educators and professionals to make money and to make an impact and not apologize for wanting to make money. So that was my journey, and I began coaching dance professionals through Dancepreneur Academy, which is my signature program, which teaches dance professionals how to run and start a healthy, sustainable business, because a lot of times I find that artists are a bit scattered, all the ideas, and not really putting the ducks in the row and are big visionaries. But how do we hone that in, grow one thing really smart so that you could use that money to hire a team to help you build out the rest of the things you want to bring to life instead of doing it all on your own? And I currently one-on-one coach, and so that's what I do, and I absolutely love it.
That's so great. And I love that you have just created this life that you love. I mean, and you created it out of nothing. Yeah. I mean, not out of nothing, but I mean, like, you created a business from scratch and it's now thriving. And I think that that's so admirable and amazing.
Thank you. I mean, my life isn't perfect. Like, every day I push myself to learn more. Before in the beginning, for me, it was like, oh shit, I have to invest money because I don't know how to do anything online, right? I was doing it myself and I was like, what am I doing? So I had to invest money there, and now I keep investing and learning because I want to bring more to my clients. So yeah, a new level, new devil. I go through hard stuff in my business all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not perfect. And balance, I had to learn with my family because I'm a workaholic, but I'm willing to do the work. And I think that's the only important thing.
Yeah. And I think that brings up such an important topic of just like doing the work, because I think that where dancers get stuck. So I know your people are like dance business owners mostly, but I want to make sure that dancers are thinking of themselves as their own business owner because they have to freelance. They have to do, they have to be their own treasurer, secretary, you know, publicist, all the things for themselves in order to get the work that they want. So I think what you're saying on like doing the work, all of that like behind the scenes work and learning and growing is so important to for dancers and dance business owners alike, because it's like about showing up, you know?
It's about showing up and it's about getting educated, because I mean, unless things have changed, I know in undergrad or any professional track, you're not necessarily educated in the finances, and that's super important. Like, that's one of the things I wish I was smarter about, just like what all of it means, how to manage my money as an artist, what is the best thing that I could do so I'm not like burning myself out doing a side hustle. How can I monetize my own skills, right?
Yeah.
So I'm building wealth for me instead of working for other people, you know? So I think it's about doing the work and admitting like, I don't know what I don't know. And then either like investing and getting help or grinding it out and figuring it out on your own, which is not easy.
Yeah. And you went to school for dance. So, you know, like, did they teach you like, they basically taught you the skills, but you're like, or like dance skills, but you're like, oh, how do I survive as like a human on earth right now? And obviously dance is a tough path to go down because it's very up and down for most people, unless you sign a long contract somewhere, but even then you're on to the next. So finding that financial stability is so important. How do you feel like you were able to navigate that after school and like until now, like this kind of financial?
I was broke. I was living a broke mindset. I was like living gig to gig, paycheck to paycheck, like sometimes not even being able to pay some bills, like, you know, like I was living a broke mentality. I had a really good family that provided me a lot, but what I didn't have was an education around money and how to treat money. So my journey is that. So there became a point when I got older, when I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? And I'm like, I got to change. I don't want to live like this. Like, I saw people around me who weren't necessarily dancers setting themselves up for life. Like, they were getting nice cars. Not to say I'm a materialistic person, but I didn't have the money to even get a car if I wanted a car. Like, I couldn't go get my nails done every week. Because I didn't have, do you know what I mean? Like, things like that. So I just got sick and tired, and then I decided that I was going to get really educated about numbers, and especially numbers in my business. And of course, like, you can't take care of your business as an artist unless your own house is clean. And what I mean by that is, like, you got to get your personal stuff in order. Like, a lot of times people on the internet talk about themselves making this money and that money, but like, dude, is your personal house in order? Like,
right.
You know, so that's
so it's true, because they could be like, hey, I made this amount. Like, I see that a lot too. I get like targeted ads for like coaching programs and online businesses and all of that. And they're like, I made six figures from this launch and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's awesome. But what were your expenses? You know, like, they don't actually talk about like that underlying part or like how long it took to do. I don't know. Those kinds of things. I get why they say that, you know, like I appreciate that. But I'm also like, well, we don't know all the financial part about it. And I know that, like, it's scary for people to talk about that side of things. Yeah, I don't know. How do you get them, dancers or anyone really, to get that part of them together? Like, just be like, okay, how do I create more of a healthy mindset on this?
So I think the thing is, like, I went to college undergrad in the 90s, the late 90s. So, I mean, there wasn't social media. There weren't people speaking out on being an educated dance boss artist, right? So I think, like, now young artists have an opportunity to find mentors in the online space. So I think that's important. Like, you need a mentor, somebody to help guide you if you're not getting that support in your undergrad. Let me tell you, when I graduated from undergrad and I went out to audition, like, I got slapped in the face. I didn't have a clear pathway on, like, how to audition, what necessarily I wanted to audition for, and I didn't have a clear pathway to manage my money. So now there's a lot of conversation about it. I feel like you're in alignment with me within this. Like, we don't have to be starving artists. It doesn't have to go that way. We don't have to compromise the goals we have for our life just for our art. They can work collectively. We just have to understand how to manage our money.
Totally. Yeah, there's tons of resources out there now for dancers in terms of financial support or just getting educated on that. Mm-hmm. But I think it is scary because it's something that I feel like, or at least I see this from my students, is that they're like, I don't really want to talk about that until I need to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's such a scary kind of overwhelming thought because it's like adulting all of a sudden and you're like, oh shit, I can't just go and dance. Like, that's not all I can do, but I'm so good, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they realize that they're like living paycheck to paycheck, or they're, again, like, kind of, you said, I feel like you said this earlier, being overwhelmed in their side job and it's taking over their life. And then they don't have time to take those opportunities or time to dive into their artistry even more. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're so overwhelmed and fearful about the financial side that they don't even take the time. They don't want to take the time to learn about it until it like hits them in the face.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if I was in my 20s, I'd be like, back then, I'd be like, whatever, like, I don't need that. I'm just going to have money and I'll be famous and it's great.
Yeah.
But I think this is a bigger conversation than us. I think there needs to be curriculum in studios and undergraduate college programs that educate on this, and in professional track programs. I think that this needs to happen early on, and it's not kind of like a workshop, but it's a part of preparing the artist as a whole person. Because that's the thing. A lot of artists, dancers are not prepared. They're prepared technically, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're not dancing anymore? Like, you don't have to teach. Like, I thought that was my only option. That's why I do the work I do. I thought my only option was to teach. Although I love teaching, but at one point I didn't. Then what? Yeah. Then what do you do?
Yeah, I would randomly find myself too. I mean, I think my business comes from a place of education too. You know, I'm just working as an educator for so many years that this is kind of how it popped up organically for me. But there are times too where I'm like, I don't want to go to that class. I want to sit and work on my business. I want to sit and work with my clients. I grow and do all of that. And so I totally hear you on that, where there's this like weird pull of like what you should be doing and what actually fulfills you.
Right, like, because I know, like, you know, I mean, you could teach Pilates, teach yoga, be a personal trainer. Like, those options are yours, but there's also other options. Like, dancers have so many skill sets. You have your own special gifts within the dance community. That is why I do the work I do. Like, how can you package that into an online self-study course? How can you package that into a teacher training guide? How can you package that into a membership? I don't know. It's just giving, and that doesn't mean that's the answer, but it's just giving you more options. Like, you can totally use your skills and make money from them.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you feel like there's been more and more pop-up of like online dance businesses? Do you feel like this is growing more? Do you think people are seeing it more as an opportunity and people are running with it?
Yeah, I do. But I see a lot of people, if I'm going to be transparent with you, and this is not judgment, this is just observation, a lot of people are doing it in an uneducated way. Like, they think because, and this was me too, like, you think because you have an idea. Like, I remember I ran this festival in Patterson, and I did it for many years, and I, like, came out of pocket, didn't know anything about running a festival, and I ended up broke, but my heart was in the right place. Like, so many people are pushing out these online dance businesses with no business background, and then they are not seeing the fruits of their labor because they didn't get the education to make it come to life. So I think, a lot are popping up, but there has to be a moment of where you are honest with yourself. Like, it's okay to admit you don't have any clue on how to run an online dance business. You shouldn't, right? You came from a dance background. But you do need to get the education if you have the goals to bring that to life and to make that a stream of revenue for yourself.
Absolutely. I love that you bring this up because the online space has become really saturated, obviously, but also for dancers. And now, you know, I'm in LA and I do talk to a lot of like commercial based dancers and people who are working here. Although I do have clients in other parts of the country too, but here, because that's where I'm working too, it's like, there's no online, I mean, LA, obviously California has been tough in the rollout of, you know, COVID related things. We won't go there today, but the digital space now is everything. You have to, like, my agent came online to talk to my clients to say, I'm submitting your Instagram with every single submission that I'm submitting you on. There's still no in-person auditions happening. Well, there are some commercial auditions happening now, but not so much like the dance, big dance calls, right? Because as you know, that's like 500 people in a room.
Right.
So now self-tapes are bigger than ever. They're not going anywhere just yet. And they're using, people are using this digital platform to like weed people out and to be like, are you even going to come into the room? Are you even going to be able to get into that big audition room? Right? Because it's not going to be 500 people, not for a long time. So it's just really interesting now how you said, like, this online space, it's just really, the possibilities are endless. And I just want dancers, too, to, like, know that, like, this digital footprint is so important right now.
Well, I love what you said about, like, and you mentioned about the agents and everything. My dad and I were having a conversation, and it relates to this. Like, I was at Motor Vehicle, and now in New Jersey, you have to reserve your spot.
Okay.
Motor Vehicle is not going to backtrack and not make you reserve your spot anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know. Some of these casting agents might have a component where they weed you out automatically now. Like, a lot of companies inside of dance and outside of dance are going to adopt these new virtual strategies because it makes it easier for them. So an Instagram presence is so important. Like, you're a brand, and that's a dance boss. Like, you got to take care of your money. And you got to take care of your brand. Showing up consistently on social media, not from a place of, oh, I got to show up on social media, but no, on a place of, this is my job. Like, when I was going to school, I didn't have to do that. But now you do. And, and it's your job to understand best practices so that you're not wasting your time on social media. So dancers, definitely, there's tons of courses out there. I teach it. Like, you can learn how to do social media successfully, and that is super important.
What's like the biggest mistake? You mentioned people like wasting their time on social media. So you see people like really like, I know that we all have opinions. We all have some strong opinions on this, but like you see a lot, you know, and what are you seeing are like the biggest things that people are falling on wasting their time on?
Well, just in general in the dance industry, like if I'm looking at it as a whole, like not posting with intent, going up there and throwing something up there with a basic caption, like, no, that's not how it works. Like, you don't have to write a storybook, but you need to do something to make people connect to you. I like to explain it to my clients this way. The caption is your dance piece, and whatever you pair with it, whether that's a video of you dancing, whether that's a carousel, whether that's a reel, is the costume, right? So you want to make sure those two complement each other. And as dancers, like, you want to show, right, you're going to show your clips of you dancing because that's how the agencies are going to look at you. But you also want to write something meaningful. What's your philosophy as a dancer, right? Because you want them to be able to tap in and be like, oh, wait, she's kind of cool. Did you see what she said? Like, that's really dope. Her movement was good, but I really like this too, what she had to say about this. Like, who are you? What do you have to say? Like, you're more than just a moving body. You have a soul. So start bringing your soul into what you create in the online space.
I love that. So like your caption can sell it more than like the visual.
I think the visual is super important, especially when talking to agents. And this is your wheelhouse, not mine. I'm talking about it from like a social media strategy perspective.
Totally.
But like, I definitely don't think just throwing up a video is enough. That's for really large accounts who have people that like love them. That might be enough. But for if you're growing, you want the agents to see engagement, that people want to interact with your post.
Yeah, I always tell my clients too, I'm like, For me, it's really about everyone's moving body. You have a soul. Yeah. That, it is.
Yeah.
It's important because we kind of become these products to sell, you mm-hmm. know, and as a dancer, you're trying to fill certain roles. You're trying to fill certain spots for somebody else. So some, it is easy to lose that. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Both of you. But I guess what I was saying before is, I think the biggest thing for the casting side of it, not this necessarily the social media strategy side, is that you have the proof is in the pudding. If you put dancer in your bio, but I got to scroll like 17 rows down to find a dance video, that's a problem for me at least. So like if I was casting a dancer, if you were casting a dancer for anything, the first thing you would probably do is to go on Instagram and look at what they're currently posting, because what they're saying is, what the agents are saying is that their people, dancers, are updating their Instagram on the daily. So if a casting person would want to see exactly what they look like and move like at this time, then that's where they'll go, because mm-hmm. we haven't updated our casting profiles for 6 months or a year or more. Right. So the more current, more accurate representation of you is what's happening there. So if you don't have updated footage, if you're not showing that, if you are saying you're a dancer online, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So that for me is the big thing.
No, I love that. And sorry, I almost interrupted you. But what was I going to say? Batch your stuff. Batch it. Like,
totally.
Reels are hot right now. Little videos. Like, honestly, when I'm in a good place doing what I should be doing with my content, I take a Sunday and I just create. And when the creative juices fall out of me, I stop. But, you know, you want to try to find out when are those moments that you are at heightened creativity? When are you have time to do your makeup, do your hair, change outfits, lay them out? Like, being a content creator for your brand is work. Right?
Yes.
It is work. So,
absolutely.
But like, if you batch them, it's going to be easier to do it. Doing it in the moment with video is so, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And the reels part, like, they don't make it easy. I mean, it is once you like start doing them and you get used to it a little bit more. But I know a lot of people have complained like it takes forever, or they get really nervous. I've heard this just recently from one of my clients last week, that she was like, but do I have, that means I have to start like for reels. She's like, does that mean I have to start making all these TikTok like videos where I put text over X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, well, really, you could really use any video and put it as a reel, right? If you don't have to be like creating three ways to do a tondu or whatever.
No. And if you notice, like, TikTok and reels, TikTok are changing a little bit. It used to be all about like taking the audio and making a skit. And if you notice, people mm-hmm. are pushing out more tutorials or people are speaking. So honestly, like, play with it. See what, like, people like. If you want to record a 2-minute dance and then use that and break it up into reels, fine. Like, the thing that gets people caught up is, like, they say, I have to start where somebody who has been doing it is. Like, stop thinking mm-hmm. you have to put the text. Stop. Just make it simple. Start where you are.
I totally agree with that. I'm like, you do what's like, you don't get caught up in the shoulds. You know, like, I should be doing a reel every day or blah, blah, blah. I got to be posting this. And then I'm like, and I do that to myself too. And I'm like, you know what? This is not realistic for me. I'm going to aim for one. And then hopefully when my schedule allows, then maybe I can add more. But this is not realistic for me. I'm a mama too. I got a job. I got this. I'm running a business. Like, blah, 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 blah. It's too much. You know, you have to do what's realistic for you and that like fulfills you, and not be like what I should be doing. Or I heard this on Peloton the other day, but it was like, don't compare your chapter 2 to someone's chapter 28. You know, like, you have to, like you're saying, do your work and like start where you are.
I do one reels a week. My reels get good engagement. I'm so happy for them. But if I pushed out more, I don't think the quality of my reels would be as good, because I don't have that much creativity oozing out of me. I gotta do one a week and make it good, and that's it for now.
That's for me too. That's all I can really handle at this time. I'm kind of like, although I did put out two last week, but I put out one that was like completely different to what I normally do the text thing. And I'm like pointing at stuff and trying to make it cool with like transitions and whatever. whatever. But then I posted something on my story, like, I don't know, like a day later. And I was like, I had some people being like, I want to share this. And
that's,
I was like,
so good.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so I was like, I'm going to just download that and edit it into a reel. And it was a completely different format to what I normally do for my reels, which made me nervous, right? Because I'm like, well, I don't know. And it didn't initially get the amount of engagement that normally I get those notifications right away. And it's like, you hit this, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't. And I was like, oh, well, there you go. Like, I should have done it that way. Yeah, exactly. Not shooting yourself. And I was like, I should have done it the same and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I love that too.
But I want everybody to give themselves permission to be a test. And this was hard for me, especially when you're entering the social media. You're like, oh, my gosh, was this bad? Was this good? It's like all a test. If you pay attention to what's going on social media, you'll start to see what performs well. And then you're able to post different things for different intentions. Like, number one, my carousels and my quotes, like, are good to post if you want to get reach, right? But quotes is great. I want to get those shared. Like, that's my intention. Reels, I want to try and get. So I do my reels at the beginning of the week to boost my engagement so that the algorithm pushes me out. Like, so just start paying attention to different trends. And, like, it doesn't matter if something doesn't do well. It's just a test, right? That's all it is.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, and, like, for instance, I do my Mentor Mondays. Normally I do them just once a month, but in May I was like, I'm all for the alliterations. I'm going to do Mondays in May, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you know what? These don't do as well as my reels. They don't, you know, I might not have like 75 people on my live, but I'm like, it's important for me to have these conversations. It's important for me to put this content out. I want people to get to know my philosophies and my personality in terms of how I feel about the industry and how I connect with other people in the industry. So, you know what? I push that part of it aside where I'm like, this is what's important to me for this project, and the reels and other things that I put out serves another purpose.
But also, you put these onto IGTV as well, right?
I do, yeah.
Right, so that's great strategy. Like, video is where it's at. So a lot of people get caught up, like, even if you're dancers and you're like, okay, I'm going to go live and freestyle. If people get caught up in how many views they're having, don't do that. My thing is crooked. Because it's about it lives there. If you repurpose it to an IGTV, and over time, it's going to get eyeballs on it. So you have to remember, everything's not an instant gratification strategy.
Yeah.
You have to do it and then save it there so that it could get you people along the way.
Right. And it's there as like reference. It's there for people to, if they want to see, if they want to dive further, it's there for them, which I like. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting. I always love talking with you,
Erin. I love talking with you, too. You're cool. I love our DMs.
I know, me too. I'm like, check out the screenshot of something, though. I don't know.
I know. It's nice to have people in the online space that you can exhale with and that get you. Like, I don't feel like I have to be on with you. Not that I'm a fake person, but you know what I mean? It's just easy.
Yes, I totally hear you. I feel the same way. So, yay. Lots of fun.
Yay! All right, guys. So nice.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks, Erin.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out mentor.management on Insta and justymentor.com/mentormanagement. That's MNTRMGMT. Check out the show notes to find links to my offerings and today's guest. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. See you next time.